Well, we've been tearing down walls, and now we're going to move mountains. All right? So Mark chapter 11, beginning at verse number 22. So let's stand together, please, as we read from God's Word. Jesus said, "Have faith in God. I tell you the truth, if anyone says to this mountain, 'Go throw yourself into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will happen, it will be done for him. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours." You believe that?
Amen.
Father, thank you for the opportunity to open your word tonight and study it for a few minutes. I pray that you'll help us understand the true meaning of this text, how you move mountains. And we give you thanks for what you've done this day, what you're going to do through this message tonight. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Years ago, there was a man by the name of George Mueller. And he made this statement that faith does not operate in the realm of the possible. There's no glory for God in that which is humanly possible. Faith begins where man's power ends. Faith is perhaps one of the hardest things for believers to get a firm grip on, to get a real hold of. Yet faith is the key that turns the ignition of God's work in our lives. Matter of fact, the Bible says without faith it's impossible to please God. So it's very important. So then I know how important it is for me to faith God so that I can experience the wonder-working power of God in my life. I hope that every one of you here tonight wants to experience God's power in your life. At least a couple of you do. That's great. Okay. Yeah. But now let me ask you a few questions. When was the last time you truly faith God for something in your life? And based on that previous response, I'm worried about that. But I mean, when was the last time that you faithed him for the salvation of someone? Whether it's a friend, a relative, an acquaintance, somebody that you just met. When was the last time you really faithed God for the salvation of someone? When was the last time you faithed God for the restoration of a marriage, yours or somebody else's? When was the last time you faithed God for the healing of your body or the healing of somebody else? When was the last time you faithed God in the midst of a financial struggle that you were going through? Well, tonight I want us to look at what Jesus has to say about faith. Faith that gets things done. Faith that changes things. Our text talks about speaking to a mountain and the mountain responding to our faith. But not just any kind of faith. Not just any kind of faith is mountain-moving faith. The Bible says, have faith in yourself. Yours doesn't say that?
No.
Okay. Mine doesn't either. It says, have faith in God. Because God is the object of our faith. And the critical words in this text are those two words, in God. Have faith in God. Notice that Jesus did not say, just have faith. He didn't say that. He said, have faith in God. So if I'm going to have faith in God, then that's going to make God the object of my faith. It's God that we put our faith into and not our faith. Faith has no value by itself. God is the one who has value. God is the one who brings faith to life. God is the one who enables our faith to be carried out and to make a difference. Far too often a crisis may arise in our lives and we find ourselves trying to muster up enough faith to see us through that situation. But it's not faith in faith that makes a difference. It's faith in God. God is the object of our faith. God is the only one that can move mountains in our lives. You and I can't stir up enough faith on our own to handle the problems that come our way. We can't do it. Our focus has to be on God. Our faith is not going to remove the mountain that stands in our way. If that mountain moves, it's God who moves it because we have placed our faith in Him. So often we place our faith in ourselves. You ever done that? You ever feel like, I got this one, God? No problem. You take the night off. I got it. I have faith in myself. When somebody says that, or when you say that, that's where the problems begin. I have faith in myself that I can accomplish this. I have faith in my abilities, and I can move mountains in my life. But you're not capable of doing that. I don't care how much faith you have in yourself. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't faith yourself. I'm not saying you shouldn't believe that you're somebody special that God created, because you are. But yet, if we're going to move mountains, Jesus said that I have to have faith in God, that He's the object of my faith. If your car breaks down, you might believe that you have enough faith in yourself to push it home, even though home is 20 miles away. But you have faith in yourself that I can do this. And so you get behind your car and you start pushing your car because you have faith in yourself that you can move that car. You can move that car 20 miles until you get it into the driveway. But the only problem with your faith at that moment is it's not going to move your mountain. It's not going to do it. It's not going to take care of it. It's not going to happen. So that's why you call AAA. Right? That's why you call AAA and you tell them where you are. And they send a wrecker, and guess what that wrecker becomes? The wrecker becomes the object of your faith. It becomes the object of your faith, and its machinery loads your car onto the truck and carries it wherever you want it taken. Your faith was not enough, no matter how much you believed in yourself. Your faith should have been in AAA from the beginning. Because they can help you. They can move your mountain at that point. You'd look awful silly out there doing that for 20 miles. You probably wouldn't make it 20 feet. But that's not the way. That's not what you need to do. I don't care how much faith you have in yourself. It's the object of your faith that is important. And you know what I learned in studying this? Jesus dealt with a whole lot of people who had weak faith. I mean, He dealt with weak faith people all the time. Matthew 14, 28. Lord, if it's You, Peter replied, like there would be somebody else out walking on water in the middle of the night. Lord, if it's You, tell me to come to You on the water. Come, he said. Come on, it's me. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and beginning to sink. He cried out, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him and said to him, you of little faith. Why did you doubt? Why did you doubt? I mean, let's be honest, you got an unusual situation with a man walking on water in the middle of the night. And they're questioning who it is. Some of the guys thought it was a ghost. But Peter says, no, wait a minute, that can't be a ghost. Let's see if it's Jesus. And Lord, if it is you, then let me come to where you are. Come on. And so he got out of the boat. The Bible says he began to walk on the water. Stop right there. Peter can't walk on water. But Peter could walk on a word from God. And that's what you and I walk on. We can't walk on water. We can't do certain things. But if God gives us the word, then we can walk on that word. We can believe that word. And so as long as he was walking on the word and he was coming toward Jesus and he had his eyes on Jesus, Jesus was the object of his faith at that moment, he was fine. But then what did he start doing? He started looking around. Wind, waves, can't do this, don't know what I'm doing out here. Am I crazy? And he was afraid, and he began to sink, but he cried out to the only one that could save him. He said, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus reached down, grabbed him by the hand, caught him, brought him back up to the surface, and looked him in the eye and said, you of little faith. Peter goes, oh, wait a minute, Lord, I just about drowned here. Give me a break. You of little faith. Why did you doubt? Good question. Why do we doubt God?
Because we lack faith.
I mean, if God tells us to do something, if his word tells us to do something, and we've said, Lord, have you ever said, God, I need a word. I need a word from you. And then God gives you a word, and you begin to say, isn't there another word? There's got to be another word. It can't be just that word. And then Matthew chapter 17, verse 14, it says, when they came to the crowd, a man approached Jesus and knelt down before him and said, Lord, have mercy on my son. He said, he has seizures and is suffering greatly. He often falls into the fire or into the water, and I brought him to your disciples, but they could not heal him. And this is what Jesus said. You unbelieving and perverse generation, how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy here to me. And Jesus rebuked the demon. It came out of the boy. He was healed at that moment. Then the disciples came to Jesus in private and asked, why couldn't we do that? Why couldn't we do that? And he replied, because you have so little faith. Truly I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. Wow. You know, that's one of those things where, okay, I know what he just said, but do I believe that? Do I faith that? Do I accept that? Do I receive that? Do I live my life based on that word? Jesus didn't accuse him of having no faith. He said, you got little faith. You got weak faith, in other words. The problem was that they had faith in themselves, which is little faith, to say the least. They were trying to heal this young boy, and they couldn't do it. And when it was all said and done, they came to Jesus and they said, why couldn't we do that? You know what I think he told them? The object of your faith was in yourself and not in me. That's why you couldn't do it. You see, the more one knows the object of faith, which is God, the more one believes in the object, or the more one believes in God. It's not have faith in yourself. It's not even have faith in other people. It's have faith in God. He's the object of your faith. I heard about two men that went out on a frozen lake. They were going to go ice fishing. And one of the guys was visiting this man who lived there and was very familiar with everything. And so the man who lived there said to the man who was visiting, you just go on out there and cross the lake, and I'll join you in a minute. Well, he assured his friend that the ice would hold him up. Yet when the friend began to step out on the ice, he didn't do it with a great deal of confidence. Little baby steps he was taking on the ice, trying his best to get there, very cautiously taking step after step until he just couldn't take it anymore, and he turned and he's made his way back to where his friend was. Now it's the friend's time. So it was at that point that the other man walked very confidently and courageously out on the ice, cut a hole in the ice, sat down in his little chair, and started fishing. Now let me ask you something. What supported the man sitting on the ice? Wasn't his faith. But the ice was the object of his faith. Wasn't his faith. It was the object of his faith. Who had the strongest faith? The man on the ice fishing, or the one with the weak faith because his object was not the ice? That wasn't where his faith was. He was afraid. He was fearful. What made the difference between the faith of the two men? One thing was that the man of faith knew about the ice. He lived there. He knew its tendencies at that time of the year. And he knew that it was safe to trust, while the other man who did not live there had no real knowledge of the ice. So then, what is the purpose of having faith in God? Well, Jesus said, if you have faith in God, you can speak to mountains and they'll move. That's the purpose of faith, to move mountains. The Jews clearly understood what Jesus meant when he used the term removing mountains, because it literally means to remove difficulties. That's what it means. To remove difficult. Don't go out here and stand at the base of Green Mountain and say, move! I have faith in God, move. That's not going to happen. It's not what he's talking about. So Jesus' teaching is this: have faith in God, and then speak to your difficulties, and they will move. They will move. Now, mountains represent the immovable and the impossible. It's something almost too steep to climb. It's something almost too high to cross. It's something almost too massive to see beyond. It's what a mountain is. But Jesus says, if anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and here's the big deal, and does not doubt in their heart, but believes that what they say will happen, it will be done for them. So you see, faith and doubt battle each other. We want to faith God. We want to put our faith in God. But yet in some situations we have doubts. It is doubt that pulls the plug on truly having faith in God. Doubt challenges our faith. We saw that play out in the life of Thomas, one of Jesus' disciples, who was not present when Jesus appeared to the disciples after the resurrection. But the story says in the Bible, now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." Has anybody ever told you about a religious experience that they've had, that they were excited about? They believed it happened with all their heart. And you listen to them and you say, okay, sounds good, like that happened to me, but not quite so sure. But he said to them, Thomas said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands, and unless I put my finger where the nails were, and unless I put my hand into his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them this time. And though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." And then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand. Put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." The reason that we don't have more mountains moving in our lives than we do is because we need to cease our doubting. Never having a thought that there might be something that God cannot do. So that's what doubt is when it comes to faith. We can faith God, we can pray to God, we can believe God. But yet if there's a doubt about whether or not God can do this thing, then I think it kind of shuts the windows of heaven again. And we don't receive from God what we want to receive. The mountain does not move. I mean, how many of you believe that God can still heal people? Amen. I mean, how many of you really believe that God can save marriages? How many of you really believe that God can help you in times of financial struggle? I mean, that's the kind of God that we serve. He is a mountain-moving God. We are the ones that have to bring our difficulties before Him. And we are the ones who have to put ourselves under His authority. And once we put ourselves under His authority, then we have His power at our disposal. He wants us to believe that all things are possible through Christ, who strengthens us in times of weakness, because all things are possible. Nothing's too hard for God. You see, if you believe and not doubt, then you're standing in the authority of God. And when we operate in the authority of God and we place our faith in God, nothing is impossible. We can speak to our troubles. We can speak to our difficulties and have faith in God that He will make a way for us. He will remove the mountain, whatever that mountain might be. Whatever that difficulty is in our life, it's not too big for God. There's nothing too big for us to bring to God. No matter how bad the situation seems, no matter how hopeless that person might seem, in your eyes, there's nobody hopeless when it comes to God. It's not anybody God can't save. It's not any life God can't change if we just bring it to Him and we faith Him. We place our faith in God. We don't place our faith in ourselves to see anybody saved. We can't save anybody. We can't heal anybody. But God can. And most of us are living testimonies to that truth tonight, that we've been saved by Him. So when God speaks a word like he did to Peter, and he begins to walk on the water, and he begins to look at Jesus, then the object of his faith was Jesus. And as long as he kept his eyes on the object of his faith, then he was able to do what he could not do. But once he took his eyes off, began to look around and say, I'm in a real mess here. I can't do this. I've never done this before. We've never done it this way before. Then he realized, I'm in trouble. The only reason he was in trouble was because he took his eyes off the object of his faith. I believe he could have walked anywhere Jesus wanted him to walk on that water as long as he kept his eyes on him. They could have walked to the other side if that's what he wanted him to do. But he just said, come to me. Just come to me. Well, James chapter 1, verse 6 says, but when he asks, when a person asks, they must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. The key to faith is the lack of doubt. And the lack of doubt only manifests itself when we take faith out of our own hands and put it totally in God's. Have faith in God. I tell you the truth, if anyone says to the mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, whatever that difficulty you might be going through might be, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will happen, it will be done for him. That's a bold promise from God. But it is from God. It is from God. And he said, I'm telling you the truth. Well, what else would Jesus tell us? He is the truth. He is the way, the truth, life, and the truth. He is the truth, the life, and the way. He is it. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you, here it is, believe that you have received it. Not that you will receive it, but believe that you have received it and it will be yours. Isn't that an amazing thing? I think sometimes we miss that part of that verse. When you ask something in prayer, believe that you have received it already. In other words, if you come to the altar one Sunday, or you're in your home and you're praying, and you bring a petition before the Lord, and you ask God, and you tell God the best you know how about what that situation is, and then the Holy Spirit takes it and interprets it for you and gets the right thing in the right place to the right person. And then you said, God, your word says this and your word says that. And you say, amen. You are supposed to get up off your knees at that point, or when you say amen, wherever you are, and you are supposed to walk like it has already happened. That's called walking in faith. But I can't do that unless my faith is in God. And when you stand praying, we didn't read this verse at the beginning, but it's important. When you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive him so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins. It's kind of an interesting place to throw that in. After talking about having faith in God and moving mountains, because I think, I'm pretty sure, matter of fact, I'm totally convinced that if we hold somebody against somebody, our prayer life's not going to do a whole lot of good until we get that straightened out. Maybe the first mountain that needs to be moved in our lives is ourselves. Maybe we need to get ourselves out of the way so God can go to work. So have faith in God. Let God be the object of your faith. Don't try to push your difficulty 20 miles by yourself. Call God's AAA get that thing loaded up and get it moved. Because that's how God operates. Have faith in God. Now, here's what I want you to do during invitation time tonight. If you got a decision to make, we want you to make it, of course. Join the church, get saved, whatever. But I just have a feeling. I just have a feeling that there's somebody here tonight, or maybe several people here tonight, who have some difficulties in their lives that need to move. You got some mountains that need to move. And all you've been doing is carrying them around with you. You've been dragging them, you've been pulling them, you've been pushing them. You've been doing everything you know to do with that difficulty. But here's what I want you to do tonight. I want you to let it go. I want you to bring it to the foot of the cross. I want you to let it go. And so I'm going to ask you tonight, and you don't have to tell anybody anything, but if you've got a mountain that needs to move, I want you to faith God to move that mountain tonight in your life. That may mean for you taking a step of faith and coming to this altar and saying, God, I am placing my faith in you. I am giving this difficulty over to you. It belongs to you. You're the only one that can do anything about it. And I'm going to leave it right here. I'm not going to come and tell you about it and then get up, take it out with me. I'm going to ask you to do something, and I'm going to believe that when I get through praying, you have told me to receive it as if it has already happened. All of us have things in our lives tonight that we would like to see change. We would love to see them in a different manner. We would like to face them in a different light. I got news for you. You can. But it's not God, because God's saying, hey, here I am. I'm out here. I'm waiting for you. And you're wondering, why can't I be like some of those other Christians I see? Why am I not as victorious as they are? Well, if they are victorious, it's because they've placed their faith in God. And if you're not walking in victory, it's probably because you haven't. So I want you to trust God tonight. I want you to believe God. Maybe something in your family. Maybe someone in your family. It may be somebody at work. It may be something, a decision that you need to make. I want to challenge you to put your faith in God as the object of your faith. And I want you to come and let us pray with you. Pray over you. Come over here. Pray by yourself. Sit on the front row and pray, whatever. And you say, preacher, I don't want to do all that stuff. Well, you don't have to. You don't have to. You're not going to make me mad if you don't. But you know what I think? When you take a step of faith, you're making a commitment. And commitments are important. Commitments are important. So we're going to pray. And then we're going to sing. And maybe you don't need to sing. Maybe you don't even need to look at the words. You need to make your way either to the altar or here and talk with one of us. And let us pray with you. And you're going to leave here with a weight of that mountain removed from your life tonight. Because, not because I said it, but because God said it. And he's the one that counts. Pray with me. Father, there's no telling how many mountains are in this room tonight that need to be moved. No telling how many difficulties that we're facing in our lives tonight, individually and collectively. But God, I know and I believe with all of my heart that there's not anything that anybody's facing here tonight that you can't help them with if they will just allow you to do it. So God, may this not just be another invitation. May this not just be another time when we sing a few verses of a hymn and then we turn around, we walk out. But may this be a night of victory for someone or for several people here tonight who are going to turn it all over to you. They're going to give you that situation. They're going to give you that person. They're going to give you that marriage. They're going to give you that job. They're going to give you everything. They're going to turn it all over to you. And they're going to faith you to make a difference. They're not going to doubt. When they give it to you, God, I'm praying they're not going to doubt. I'm praying they're going to live as if it's already been answered. So God, bless us now, please, during this time, is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.